A grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, last week, Pastor Mark spoke about the why of prayer. Why is it that we as Christians pray, and why can we pray with confidence? Today, I'll be speaking about the how of prayer. See, prayer isn't something that we just know by nature. It's actually a pretty unnatural activity for us. It's a learned behavior. You know, from birth, we're taught these lessons of self-reliance and independence. When we're born, we're completely dependent on our parents for everything. There's nothing that we can do outside of maybe crying. We do really well on our own. That we can't do without our parents. And so from that very early age, our parents teach us. They teach us how to eat for ourselves, how to drink without spilling, how to go to the bathroom on your own. That's a relief. And as we get a little older, then we begin to get more and more responsibility from our parents, how to do chores and the like. And those are all critically important lessons for us to learn as we grow up. The problem, of course, comes when we transfer those learned lessons of self-reliance and individualism, and we transfer those into our relationship with God. Especially, it becomes problematic when we transfer those lessons into prayer. See, prayer, by its very nature, is an act of dependence, not independence. See, prayer is kind of like the child who goes to her parents in the morning and asks them to help her make breakfast because she knows she can't do it on her own. And likewise, when we choose not to pray, it's a little like that same child getting up in the morning and deciding they can do it themselves. And so they don't go and bother their parents with breakfast. They go down, they pull the stuff out of the fridge, and they pull maybe the box of cereal out of the cabinet. And then before you know it, there's milk and cereal all over the kitchen table and all over the floor. And it's my experience that if you don't ask for help before the mess is made, you probably ask for it after it's been made. And unfortunately, that's often the approach that we wind up taking with prayer. We don't pray every day, many of us. We don't pray when things are going well, but you can sure as bet that when things are beginning to fall apart, when tragedy strikes, then we turn to God in prayer. And there's nothing wrong with going to God in prayer in those times, and we should when things aren't going well for us. But we should also be praying, not just when things are going bad, but every day, every moment of our life as well. See, prayer, it doesn't come naturally. It needs to be intentional. In little over a month now, the gyms around here will be flooded with people who've made New Year's resolutions that they're going to get themselves back in shape. I remember the first time I walked into a gym, I walked up to the front desk, I explained to them that I was looking to join, I wanted a membership, and so they called one of their trainers over, and he showed me around the gym. He showed me where the treadmills were, and the ellipticals, and the free weights, and the weight machines. He showed me the locker rooms in the back. And after all of that, we sat down, and he asked the question, now, what is it that you're here for? What goal are you trying to reach? Are you training for something? Are you trying to lose weight? I just kind of laughed at that one. I think that's one of the things they just are so used to saying. Are you just trying to increase your level of overall fitness? And after we talked for a little bit, he offered to set up a routine for me. And that was surprising. It wasn't what I was expecting. I was expecting just to walk in the doors of the gym, pay my membership, and then I'd go when I had the opportunity during the week. Some weeks I might go 3 days, some weeks I might only go 2 days, and that when I got there, I'd walk through the doors and just hop on any machine that struck my fancy. But there's a big difference between playing on exercise equipment and following a set routine. And any good trainer or coach worth their weight will tell you that you need to have a routine, you need to have a plan, you have to be intentional if you want to see results physically. And the same is true with prayer. Prayer shouldn't just be an afterthought. It shouldn't just be something that we squeeze into our day or our week if we've got the time. Paul encourages us to pray without ceasing, but if you aren't already praying every day, that can seem like a pretty daunting request. And so you can start simple. Just think of a time and a place That you can set aside each day that you're going to make the commitment that you will go to God in prayer during that time or place. And the time or place doesn't matter. I asked this question on Facebook this week, how do you pray? And I got a number of interesting responses. Barb Biggers had responded back actually with the story that when the Thompsons were here in the States, before they went back to India, they would sometimes have them over for dinner, and after dinner they would gather together before the family left, and they would hold hands in a circle, and Pastor Sam would pray with them before he left. She thought that was a really cool way to thank your hosts. Another lady who cleans houses, she responded that what she does is that she prays for the family whose house that she's cleaning as she's cleaning throughout the day. Another person responded back that she likes to pray when she's in the car. She can turn the radio off and she can pray out loud. People driving around don't know that she's praying. It just looks like maybe she's singing or she's talking on the phone. But she says she prays verbally. She prays out loud because it helps keep her mind on what she's praying and keeps her mind from drifting. As I said, the time and the place aren't as important as picking a time and a place every day that you know you can go to God in prayer. For our family, we pray at mealtimes and we pray together as a family before bedtime. And so if we don't pray any other times in the day, those are the times when our kids can count on the fact that we will pray. But however you do it, find a time and a place that you can make that commitment. See, Jesus knew that prayer is a learned behavior, that it doesn't come naturally to us. That's why in the gospel for today, he spends some time giving his pointers on prayer to his disciples. And he tells them things like, you know, when you pray, don't pray on the street corners to be seen by others. When you pray, you don't have to heap up empty phrases. You don't have to use big and lofty language when you pray to God. You can simply pour out your heart to God in your own words. And the reason you can do that, Jesus says, is because God knows what you need even before you ask him. And then Jesus left his disciples a prayer that they could pray, one we call the Lord's Prayer. We pray it along with Christians. We've prayed this for over 2,000 years. We pray it every Sunday here. And it's more than just an incredible prayer on its own. It's actually a form, a model for prayer as well. And so you can break this prayer down by petition. We've done that before in years past, and you can look at each petition. You're requesting and talking to God about something different in each section. If you haven't looked at that in a while, you can grab a small catechism on your way out and look at that later today. But this morning, I want to give you another form, another model of prayer. Because some of the things, sometimes I think the thing that can make prayer difficult or frustrating is that we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray for beyond the requests that we bring before God. And so this is a helpful model as well. It's an Acts prayer. It's given to you in your bulletins. It should be slided in there somewhere. It's a bookmark, and you can take this, you can put it in your Bible, or you can place it around your house somewhere where you'll see it and be reminded of this every day. It's easy to remember. All you got to remember is the one word, Acts. It has four parts: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And praying the prayer this way, or praying the Lord's Prayer as a form of prayer, the benefit of doing that is that it keeps your prayers from becoming just two-dimensional requests, things you're asking God to do for you. This prayer begins with adoration, praising God for who he is. And beginning the prayer in this way, it sets the tone for the entire prayer. It's similar to how Jesus begins the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're praising God for who he is, for his characteristics. We can praise God and thank him for being just and merciful and righteous and loving. I mean, it's hard to pray the Lord's Prayer. It's hard to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, and not be overcome with awe about what it is that we're saying in that prayer, in that petition. We're praying to a God who is all-powerful, who knows everything, who is everywhere all the time, who knows us better than probably sometimes we know ourselves. who knows all of our faults and still loves us and forgives us every day. So we begin this prayer with adoration, praise to God for who He is. And then we move into a time of confession. After praising God and acknowledging Him for who He is, as we put that spotlight on God and we see who He truly is, it's almost natural then, as we look at ourselves, we realize how far we fall short of who God would have us to be. And so we can go to God and we can confess our sins. And this is a great opportunity, especially if you're praying on your own, to be specific. A lot of times we confess our sins en masse to God, but we can actually go to God in prayer and say, God, please forgive me for the thoughts I had this week about my coworker. God, please forgive me for that careless thing that I spoke. We can go to God specifically and ask Him for forgiveness for these things. The Apostle John, in his first letter, he highlighted this. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and He'll forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can go to God and confess our sins. And then next, we can then give thanks to God. Respond in thanksgiving. And if you haven't caught on yet, there's a natural flow to this prayer. We begin with adoration, praising God for who He is, and then we move into a time of confession. We confess God for who we are and confess to God our failings. And then from there, we move into thankfulness. We can thank God first and foremost for that promise of forgiveness, that Jesus Christ, through His death on the cross, has paid the penalty for our sin. He's taken the guilt of our sin away. And there's a big difference, of course, between being grateful and actually giving thanks. You see this when Jesus healed the 10 men who were suffering from leprosy. They cried out, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priest, and as they were on their way, they were cleansed, all 10 of them. Sure, all 10 were grateful, but only one of the 10 returned to give thanks before God to Jesus Christ for the healing that he'd received. And so we have this opportunity in this prayer to thank God first and foremost for the healing, the forgiveness of sins that we have received. And then we can thank Him for all the other innumerable things that He does for us and He gives to us. We can thank Him for our family. We can thank Him for our friends. We can thank Him for the homes that we have to live on cold nights like last night. We can thank Him for our jobs, for our daily bread, countless other things. And finally, we end the prayer with our supplications, our requests. We have this promise that even though God knows what we need before we even ask, that God wants to hear our requests. In this, I think it's similar to the relationship between a child and their parent. You know, most of us as parents, we know the things our kids need, and a lot of times we even know the things our kids want. But it doesn't change the fact that we still want to hear from them and hear what's on their mind and the things that are concerning to them. And so, as Paul writes, in everything, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. We can bring our requests to God, knowing that He's promised to always be with us, to always hear them, and always answer our prayers, even if not in maybe the way that we're thinking of in that moment. As I said, it's a simple prayer, acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. I'd encourage you, if you struggle with prayer, if you struggle with what to pray when you go to God in prayer, remember this prayer and this form of prayer. I encourage you to practice it this week. Why don't we go to God in prayer now? Heavenly Father, we praise You this morning for who You are and what You've done for us through the death and the resurrection of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, even as we praise You for who You are, we confess that we so often fall short of who You would have us be. We pray that You would always bring us to repentance and that You would restore us. And we give You thanks that You've also given us this promise of forgiveness through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I ask that You would continually teach us how to pray, That it not become just a one-time thing, but that throughout our lives, you teach us more and more about how to approach you in prayer. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.